Hey, this is Sunny. If you're listening to this, you are listening to the free feed via iTunes or whatever. Great episode this week on Woman in the Window. JBL, not a fan. Me, more of a fan. Vic, voice of the people. We'll see what he says. I just wanted to remind you that this episode's a couple weeks old now. You can check out new stuff at the Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. You will easily find us, as Vic says. Hope to see you over there. In the comments, creating community and getting the new episodes right away instead of having to wait. See you over there. Sign up. It's as little as a dollar a month or as many as $100 million a month. If Jeff Bezos, you're out there listening, feel free to chip in and make a difference. But we will be back this week on the Patreon with a new episode on Hulu's show MODOK, Marvel's MODOK. It's kind of like Robot Chicken meets the MCU. So check that out and at the Patreon when it goes up on Friday, and see you over there.
911.
My neighbor Jane, she's been stabbed.
Detective Little, NYPD.
Where's Jane?
Mr. Russell believes that you made a mistake.
You have never met my wife.
Ma'am, you all right?
I know Jane. Jane's been in my house.
I'm Jane Russell.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com. You will easily find us. Please subscribe. Tell your friends. And don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com.
Gentlemen. There's a sale going on, I think.
Tell us about the sale. What's happening there?
Maybe there's 30% off.
Oh, that's
maybe
a big discount. 30, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I would say 10%.
Just go check the store. They constantly have sales. It's if you pay full price at TeePublic, you're a sucker. Go, you know, just wait for one of those sales.
Sonny, how are you?
I'm good.
On that
I'm
note,
good.
Since you're talking.
Can we talk a little bit of podcast theory for a second?
Sure.
Theory of podcasting. So I, as you guys know, as I mentioned on the show, gyms are open again. I'm going back to gyms have been open, but now that I'm vaccinated, I'm going back to the gym, which means that I have renewed my Audible subscription to Amazon because when I'm working out, I like to listen to audiobooks rather than music or podcasts.
Endorse.
And here's so I got into a little bit of trouble the other day because I mentioned on Twitter that there are two different kinds of podcasts, right? You have dudes chatting podcasts and you have like narrative podcasts, and then you also have like long form interview podcasts, and I think that kind of falls under the specter of dudes
like In Search of
chatting,
Richard Simmons, for example,
right. Somebody on Twitter was like, you know, it's weird that people spend hours and hours and hours on these narrative podcasts, and you know, they're real hit or miss. You know, sometimes a million people listen to them, and sometimes like five people listen to them. But and yet, meanwhile, these people who put in no effort at all, you know, they just rack up tons and tons of listeners. And I was saying that, and I what occurs to me, as somebody who frankly does not listen to a lot of podcasts, I know this gets me into trouble with some of our friends, you know, because they're like, why aren't you listening to my podcast? I'm like, I don't listen to any podcasts. It's nothing personal. I just don't really listen to them. The two different types of podcasts are competing against two different market segments, right? So the narrative long form podcasts are competing essentially against audiobooks. You have a 10-hour story that plays out over 10 episodes of a podcast or whatever, and that's competing against an audiobook. And then you have the dudes chatting podcasts, which are essentially competing against talk radio. They're essentially competing against Morning Zoo or, you know, or maybe political talk radio, or it depends. But the reason that the audiobooks are better than the long form podcasts is because audiobooks are just a superior format. It's just the stuff is more deeply researched. It's like an actual book. You're getting a narrative. And it's produced and et cetera, et cetera. And like, granted, again, long form podcasts, some of them are very good at that. Some of them are very well produced, et cetera. But with the dudes chatting style podcasts, you basically have an inferior art form. You have an inferior mode of communication, which is talk radio, which is constantly interrupted by advertisements, which is, you know, very hit or miss, very, you know, it's so personality dependent. That you can find something more easily suited to your personality in the world of podcasts, or am I totally wrong here? Am I like?
I think you're wrong.
And okay, I'm honestly curious because I don't listen to a ton of podcasts, so maybe my theory is
what
just
is your what
off.
Is your question that you're wondering whether that's an accurate analogy?
Yeah, I'm curious
versus Morning Zoo,
right? I mean,
So shows like ours, shows, in general, the Dudes Chatting podcasts are all, as a listener, they're about having relationships with other people, right? I mean, people are, you are in dialogue with the show, whether mm-hmm. you are actually close to the show in the way that we are close to most of our listeners. You know, again, I have had the people who listen to the show sleep over in my house. I sometimes have them sleep at my beach house. So it's like that, even if you don't actually have a relationship, even if the show mm-hmm. is so big that you, but you feel like you know Howard Stern, right?
Or right.
You feel
right.
like you know the Morning Zoo guys. Whereas the long form nonfiction shows are, they're documentaries,
mm-hmm.
right? And because they are finite, right? It's a, you are consuming a set piece of it. There is no relationship to it. It's the same as reading a single long-form magazine article or watching a docuseries. Mm-hmm. And they're just two totally different types of relationship with the medium.
Sure, sure. But my point is, if you give me two options, if you're like, here, you can listen to this long-form podcast or this audiobook, I'm going to take the audiobook 90% of the times.
If one exists of the same topic you're interested
right,
in.
Right, if it's the same topic.
But,
right?
But that's not fair because you don't listen to any podcasts.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, but that's true. I mean, that's true. This is why I'm asking. This yeah. is why I'm asking. I like.
Good.
I'll
have, for example, again, I'm the same way, Sonny. I don't listen to podcasts. Well, I don't listen to podcasts, you know.
Or books.
I don't listen to books.
You just listen to your own head when you're running.
That's it. No, I'll pray. I'll pray and get some meditation going. But, you know, one that I did listen to was the Chernobyl podcast. And that is a set. You know, and I thought it was really interesting. But at the end of it, it's the end. You're right. It is different. It's not the
See,
same
I read,
feeling.
I listened to an audiobook about Chernobyl. There was a Chernobyl audiobook that I listened to when the wow. HBO series was out. And I was like, oh, I think that's what I will listen to instead of the podcast. And it was like deeply researched and, you know.
But doesn't that, certainly, this is like the difference between books and magazine articles, right? If you could read a book about Chernobyl versus reading a 10,000-word magazine article about Chernobyl, the more edifying experience is going to be the book,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just different mediums.
If I did audiobooks, maybe, but you know, it's the Chernobyl one was it was hosted by the director or the producer. So
that was like the official HBO.
From the HBO, yeah, yeah.
Chernobyl,
right.
Gotcha,
about the show, because I was watching it concurrently. Gotcha. So right. then they would do episode by episode, which is not gotcha. Obviously the audiobook.
Yeah. Anyway, I was just curious because, I am back to the gym now. I am listening to books again. And I was thinking like, maybe I should listen to some podcasts. I was like, no, I'm just going to keep listening to my books.
It
there's a new Andy Weir book out.
I saw that.
Yeah, Ryan turned me
on
to it, and I'm listening to it now. I'm about a third of the way through.
Is it good?
It's great. It's the Bourne identity. If Jason Bourne was a physicist instead of a military contract killer.
Here's another weird thing about I'm going to bring this back to me. Here's another
I've never
weird
heard
thing
of
about
Andy
me.
Weir. Is he like Clive Cussler?
He's the guy who did the Martian. He wrote the Martian.
The movie?
You remember? Well, it was based on a book.
What?
It was hugely popular, independently sold book.
All right, if you say so.
I do not listen to
with
fiction.
Bill Bixby. That Martian.
That's a good one. That's
I do not. One. I
Ray
do not
Walston.
Listen. To fiction audiobooks. I almost exclusively only listen to nonfiction audiobooks because I find I like to be able to picture the people's voices in my head. I don't know. It's like a weird.
Yes, we've had this conversation. I'm the exact opposite. I refuse to listen to nonfiction audiobooks. I only listen to fiction.
That's really interesting.
And it's because I can't. I don't process the audiobooks as well as I do when I read.
Yes,
and if
well,
it's
that's
a nonfiction book, then I presume that I need to.
But when you
understand it and retain it, and so I just can't listen to
but
it.
But when you're reading a book, you also thinking in the you, when you picture voice, you have the voices right in your head or no?
No, just not me. Maybe you do, Victorino.
I mean it depends on what the book is. So like obviously not The Guns of August, although everybody seemed to have a German accent in my head. I would say Bonfire of the Vanities is a problem in the sense that I can't help but think of Tom Hanks as Sherman McCoy or whoever, you know, and because it wasn't a great movie. And in fact, I only saw it once years and years ago when it came out. Obviously, I was young and I hadn't read the book, but I cannot imagine now reading the book that the movie even skimmed the surface. I don't know what the reactions were at the time, though.
Bonfire of the Vanities?
Yeah, the movie.
The reactions to the book or to
the movie? The movie.
Yeah, one of the worst received movies.
Is that right?
There's an entire
It's a legendary book. Disaster.
Was it Melody Griffith?
There's a whole book written about how big of a disaster it was.
It's called The Devil's Candy. It's fantastic. And my favorite of all of the many, many anecdotes in it is they're trying to figure out who to get to play Sherman McCoy's mistress. And the part has been written down to the level of nothing. So that all this character does is take off her top and then go bottomless, where she hops on a photocopier and photocopies her lady business. And Brian De Palma is sitting around with the producers trying to figure out who can we get to do this, because this is the most demeaning. The most demeaning thing in the world. No self-respecting actress would take this part. And one of the producers says, Kim Cattrall get naked at the drop of a hat. Just get her.
That's terrible. Was it? Did they get her?
Yes.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. She was in Mannequin. She's very good.
Before Which is better? Which is better?
Mannequin 2?
No. Devil's Candy or Final Cut?
They're both amazing. Don't make me choose between them.
What was Final Cut about?
Gun to your head. Final Cut is the story Heaven's of Heaven's Gate.
Yeah. It's all the end of an entire studio.
Final Cut's also really interesting because it's this whole story of United Artists.
Yes.
And that culminates in the dissolution of the studio because Heaven's Gate was such a disaster.
Well, and the reason, if you put a gun to my head, is that I believe... Devil's Candy is written by Judy Bachrach, who I believe was the Wall Street Journal reporter
at the time.
The Heaven's Gate book was written by the guy who was the number two at United Artists, who greenlit the movie.
Oh, okay,
Stephen Bach is an actual player in the entire thing and a character, and it's amazing. Anybody who likes disaster porn, especially Hollywood disaster porn, should go read that.
Really, really good book. I think it's back in print. It was out of print for a little while, but I think it's back in print now.
I'll add that to my list of books to read in 2022.
Okay.
JVL, what is going on?
I got my Peloton.
Hey, congratulations. What is it like, and how often are you on it right now? I can't tell.
I'm not on it right now. I'm on it all the time. I love it so much.
That's good. That's the point.
Got a lot of followers. Got a lot of followers on Peloton. Got a whole army, JVL's army. Anybody who's listening to this show who would like to come and hang out with me on Peloton, my username is just the JVL, the_JVL.
You can question.
Just come and follow me.
Question. Yeah? What happens if you follow somebody on Peloton? Does it just keep track of their stats? Do they get an alert that says like,
I'm on now.
JVL's on. We got to get on.
I got to hop on my bike.
When you hop on, right? So if you hop on your bike, if you look at your little circle of friends, you could see who is exercising right now or what class they're doing. You can, so if I'm going to be on, you can organize rides for your friends. So for instance, best friend Chris, he and I will do this where we'll say, hey, let's do a ride tomorrow at like 11, and I will organize the ride and send an invite. And I can send one either right to him to come and hop on and we'll ride together, or I could send it to all of my people or to all the people who follow my hashtag Bulwark. and we could all ride together. You can do, they have like FaceTime video chat within the thing.
I was going to say, can you see each other? Is that an option then? You're biking together if you want to.
I think you can only do it if it's one person. I think it's only one on one. And so, like, Chris and I treated this as like just hanging out and catching up while we're biking together. It was fantastic. Wow. Fantastic.
Also, how do you have the breath? How do you,
I'm not killing myself yet.
I would be out of breath very quickly.
So do you say like when you're on with Chris, it's just audio? You'll talk to him like
you could do either audio or video.
Is it what, built and you'll into see them, the Peloton?
You'll see each other like this. You'll see each other like this. Then is that how it works?
So it's like a video screen in the actual like dashboard of the.
It's just like the screen of your laptop where there's a camera built into the top of it, and it. You can choose to see each other or to not see each other and just have audio.
But you said it's only the video only works one on one.
I believe so.
Oh, that's interesting. I believe so. You have to pick.
And you can't, thank goodness the instructors can't see you. Because that would, if Leanne could have seen Chris and I while we were working out with her, she is, I want to say, the British Jess King.
Oh, wow.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Imagine all of the amazingness of Emma Lovewell and Jess King
in
but with a British accent.
Oh. One day I'll get back on that.
And so this is fantastic. So Peloton is such a cult that I got an email from them today, because today was my 1 week anniversary. And they have clearly tracked which instructor I have ridden with the most. And they sent me a personal message from her, a video message.
Oh, come on.
And it is shot like a cameo, you know, where it's like them. They're not in the Peloton studio. She's at home, like hanging out. And it is so casual.
To you? Like specifically to you?
So, no, it's not to me specifically.
Oh, it's like an encouragement thing.
It is shot so that I would bet half the people who get this think it was done individually to them.
I would.
It's so totally, nothing about this
really great.
Feels like it's been there, you know, for free. It's amazing. It's great. Everybody should have a Peloton.
Wow. Listen to that. Okay.
Victorino, nice. You got to do it, man.
I know. I got to get back into the inside gym. I'm still running.
We could work out
though.
Together. We could work out together when you're in the Peloton.
Don't know about that. Yeah.
We could do a live Peloton show.
I mean, look, I've got all these Bulwark readers who were super excited when I had mentioned on the secret podcast that I was going to get a Peloton. They're like, we got to have rides together. And we're all now like Peloton buddies, and they want to do like a Saturday morning ride that I organize or something. And so you just, you know, you all pop up on the leaderboard together. You could see each other while you... see each other's
stats,
right? While you
are there, little
together.
Avatars like on the course.
Oh no,
no, because you're not doing funny, a
that's
course.
That's the old treadmill at the gym. I don't know if you ever did that one. Yeah. You could see.
No, there was a bike one.
Yeah, there's the bike one. That's what it was. It was a bike one, and there was one that was actual camera. And I think I wonder if they kept those there.
So
and you're going through different like cities. So I was like the one going through Germany, which was great. And then there's one where you think you're going in Italy, and then all of a sudden these like avatars appear, and it's just wrong.
So there's this really cool thing. They have a bunch of these nature rides, right? Which are exactly this. You're going through Melbourne or Hong Kong or Tokyo or New York, but there are a handful of these which are shot in, and I do not fully understand how this works, where the video is responsive to your speed.
Oh,
and
right.
So if you speed up, you actually move through the program.
Yes.
And so these are ones that are distance-based, not time-based, right? And so the reason when you're doing a workout, you know, on one of these, you know, because every high-end exercise machine with a video screen has that, look at you, you're in the real world. But it's almost always, no matter how fast you go, it's a set pace that the video is moving through it. Peloton has cracked the code on how to speed it up or slow it down based on your inputs. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, that should be pretty easy, though, right?
The one at the office was kind of like that, too, if I remember.
I don't know. Maybe Leanne could give me a guided demo to explain how
we could have her on. You could do. Works. You could have her on, this, on the JVL show.
Yeah. There was this great moment where I was doing an 80s ride with Leanne. And it was, you know, music of the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And she talked, there was this, oh, no, you know what? It wasn't, it wasn't music of the 80s. It was music of the 90s. And she's like, feels just and this one, this one's from 1993. My favorite year, the year of my birth. She's like, oh, 1993, the year of your birth.
Wow.
Great. There you go.
Question. This brings me to a very important question. So when you, when you're doing these rides, they, the music and everything and the instructor, that's all through the Peloton, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's like DJ'd for you. It's like, mm-hmm. we're doing, and it's like, you know, up tempo, down tempo, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you just want to listen to an audiobook?
So you can. You have total control over the mix of sound. And so if you just want to listen to an audiobook, you could kill both the music and the instructor, or you could kill just the music and leave the instructor's voice on. So you could have the instructor plus your audiobook, or you could kill, in theory, I guess, you could kill the instructor and leave the music up and listen to your audiobook. Although why you would want to silence Leanne is beyond me.
It would also be weird to have her.
She's a fit bird.
Is she, is she better or worse than your favorite on com.com?
I mean, they're very different.
Com. I forgot com. About com.
That. Com. Yeah. The other thing I would say, Victorino, is that there is clearly, there's a very Running Man vibe to the Peloton instructors.
Yes.
Where they are characters almost like Nitro and
Sub-Zero.
Turbo and Sub-Zero and all those guys, where they're competing for your affections and like they're getting paid based upon the number of rides.
Could you imagine if you had like a distinctly lower number of followers than others? I think the pressure would be right. Then they'd be noticing that and you'd be in trouble, I think, as an instructor.
Yeah. There is definitely a, I don't know who plays Richard Killian in
Richard Dawson of
Richard
Peloton.
Dawson. Plays Killian within the Peloton community.
Right.
But somebody is the Killian keeping track of how many people are into Nitro and all that.
Yeah.
So it's great. Intense. I'm in. Come find me. The JVL. The finally. _ JVL. Victorino, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I don't know if you could tell. I'm broadcasting from a different room for the first time.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
I am out of the basement. I'm in the living room because my dad is here for the whole week. And the guest room is
downstairs. Didn't you tell us that you could bring him on the show?
Did he watch The Woman in the Window?
Oh, we watched it together. Yes, yes. He said, that's crazy. He said, that's crazy. It's great because, so I went up to Jersey and then I brought him down. You know, it's great because people will say, oh, how, you know, what are you doing or whatever? What's going on this week? And I get to say, oh, you know, it's good. I'm taking care of my dad this week, which makes me look really good. But of course, he's the one actually doing the yard work outside and doing everything else.
Putting together grills.
Putting together, you know, doing stuff or forcing me to do stuff that I've been trying to put off, you know. And
re-roofing the house.
Oh, come on. It's easy. Just do this. So that's been going. It's like having, the truth is, it's like having my own, like, personal gardener, like my own Asian gardener. I don't know why they're always Asian, but, you know, it's like my own gardener.
Not in Texas.
Oh, really? Oh, no. Well, I mean, yeah, it's like a stereotype. And he's good with planting and stuff. You can have endless conversations with him about what to plant and what works. Hey, he knows a lot about that stuff out there. I have no idea. So that's what's going on with me. But I was going to say, have you noticed, because when I work from home, there's all sorts of noises outside because there's, you know, neighbors around are always having these renovations. Have you noticed in your neighborhood, like over the last year, everyone doing home renovations? Sonny's nodding. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, in our neighborhood, I would say that a solid 20% have had like permitted renovation, including our, we did some renovations in our house. We put up a wall, actually. We put up a wall to create like a little office slash bedroom area, and remodeled the bathroom. But I would say that basically like one in every five houses is either having some renovations done or has been like torn down and rebuilt. Like our neighborhood, the market in our neighborhood right now is insane.
Yeah. I live in a very different socioeconomic part of the world than you guys do. This is not a thing that's happening for me, the person who actually lives out there among the people.
Well, but you also live in a newer subdivision, right?
Like 1983.
Well, I mean, my house was built in 60 or something like that, 61. So yeah. But I mean, like in our like in the neighborhood where I live, like the Dallas housing market is insane right now. It's insane.
Yeah.
I know Northern Virginia and DC is crazy. Nuts too.
So lots of people are doing actually add-ons, but you see a lot of teardowns and then just whole new craftsman houses come up, you know. And our street has been holding the line against that, but the street like on the other side of us, one block over, you know, those were old houses built on double lots. And so when people, elderly, you know, if they go, either they're retiring or they're going to a nursing home or they die, you know, whoever owns that, you know, that they're going to sell two houses in one space and each house will go for a lot. So it's crazy. Yeah. But the house directly across from us is really interesting. And they're fitness fanatics. This guy and a woman, and he's a fitness instructor. So what they've
careful.
Been doing? This is a big guy. I know. I'm really trying to be careful about him. No names, but anyway, really, he's a nice guy. And they've been building out in the back, and it's clear that they're building like a gym.
Is there a basket with keys in this story?
No, there's not. But there's a, but they're clearly building like a whole separate gym thing to use. And my wife actually got a tour of it, and they're like, "Oh, bring your husband around," because they were saying that, you know that
you
I like
open
to
new
work
things.
Out. I was like, "Hey, what's going on?" Right? Yes. And but the question it's been going on forever though. It's like for the whole year. So I've been calling it the big dig because it's like it just isn't ending. And the question is, are they building the gym really just for themselves? Are like clients going to start coming over to use the gym, which is that's kind of an issue, but I don't know. But, you know, next to them is another a family. And my daughter, of course, is really good. So one of her best friends is there. And she said they were out there in the backyard. You could see into their gym. And they said, "Oh, yeah, we saw them working out." Oh, he was. And the guy was working out without a shirt. I'm like, okay. I was hoping. I was like, please don't tell me that he was doing push-ups on top of her. So that was it. That just anyway, speaking about spying on neighbors, this week we're talking about the movie The Woman in the Window on Netflix. Sonny, how about a big boy review?
So The Woman in the Window, I suggested we review this because it's a really interesting, disastrous mess of a movie. And I find the pedigree of it really interesting. So this was a best-selling book by A.J. Finn, I think is his name, in 2018.
Somebody just told me.
Daniel Mallory. We did a whole half a show on this guy.
Yeah.
Do you not remember this?
I don't.
Are you sure that's the right name?
The book is under a pen name. His
real
name
is Daniel Mallory. We
literally spent 40 minutes.
I remember. So this. I didn't remember his real name. What's fascinating about this movie is that it has an enormously good pedigree. The director is Joe Wright, who directed Atonement. He directed Darkest Hour. He directed the Keira Knightley Pride and Prejudice. He directed Hannah, the Eric Bana, Saoirse Ronan martial arts movie. I'm not the biggest fan of Joe Wright, but he's certainly talented. He's a talented filmmaker, great visual eye. It stars Amy Adams and Gary Oldman, you know, Oscar nominee, Oscar winner. It is written by Tracy Letts, the playwright, who has a small
who is a
part
man.
In this. Who's a man. Tracy Letts is a man. He's actually most of our listeners will probably best remember him from Ford versus Ferrari. He is the guy that Matt Damon drives around. He's the Ford son.
Yeah.
The young Ford, the younger, who gets driven around real fast in the car, and starts crying, right? Starts spontaneous. And the movie is this weird mishmash of Hitchcock tropes that is kind of filtered through the lens of not really Hitchcock. It's more like Joe Wright doing Brian De Palma doing Hitchcock. It is overacted. I mean, it's pure camp. This is actual camp. This is a movie that somebody thought was like great, and they thought they were making a really great, you know, high toned picture, and it turned into this disastrous bit of overacted nonsense. And nevertheless, I find it weirdly compelling to watch. I watched it twice now. I watched it again last night. I watched it again last night in preparation for the show. So the plot of the story is pretty basic. Amy Adams is agoraphobic. She's stuck in the house. She is in therapy. The therapist is Tracy Letts. And she is spying on her neighbors. That's her contact with the outside world. You know, new folks moved in next door, Gary Oldman and his son, who at the start of the movie comes across as mentally disabled and possibly abused by his father. And the wife, played by Julianne Moore, another great actress, Oscar nominee, I think, comes over for drinks, and they share some story, blah, blah. And then she's murdered across the street. But is she really murdered? Because it turns out the wife is actually Jennifer Jason Leigh. This other woman might not even exist.
Spoiler alert.
So there's this whole Rear Window thing, this whole Hitchcock vibe, lots of split diopter shots, you know, where the left and the right side of the screen are both in focus, even though something's in the distance and something's in the foreground, right? A little bit of film school here for you. I'm getting you an education. Split diopters, shallow focus,
you
deep focus.
Went to Tisch, Sonny.
It's trashy and it's over the top. And Gary Oldman has this just the most ridiculous over the top performance. Stay away from my son, he says at one point.
Well,
I was like, are you 100 years old? I don't know, but I found it weirdly compelling in its dumbness. It was never boring to watch, which is like it's like the lowest possible bar to clear, but not boring me is a thing that is very hard. Like, I watched Cruella this week.
Oh.
That movie's fucking boring. And it's a million hours long. And this is a tight 95 minutes without credits. I enjoyed it. I don't know what to tell you. I enjoyed it, even though it's bad. Even though I'm pretty sure it's bad. And pretty sure it's silly and dumb. And the plot twists are all, you can see them all coming a million miles away. And you know who I haven't even mentioned yet, who's really great in it? Kurt Russell's kid, Wyatt Russell, is in this. He's the neighbor downstairs.
Oh, really?
And he was also in the Winter Soldier and the Falcon show.
Huh.
It was on MCU. Very good in that.
Good for him.
I like him a lot. He's good in this. He's good in everything. Just not a good movie, but I was rarely bored.
JVL,
while watching it twice.
JVL, I'm trying to interpret JVL's reaction.
JVL looks like I look when you guys are talking about watches.
I'm not sure. Go ahead.
Sometimes I feel like I don't even know you anymore. I don't understand how you could find anything about this film the least bit intriguing or entertaining. It's a terrible movie.
Something transformational is happening here.
Based on a terrible book, and it follows the book almost beat for beat for beat. Because as I said to you when we did our Daniel Mallory episode,
I don't remember this episode.
Yeah,
at all.
Well, I do. And you defended him on the McDonald's principle. I said this is a morally repugnant human being who lied, cheated, and stealed his way to get to the place where he convinced one of the seven large publishing houses to release his stupid novel, and that every year...
That sold tons of copies.
Well, it sold tons of copies because every year there is a novel, a chick-lit type mystery, which sells a bazillion copies during the summer. Every single fucking year this happens.
Why do you hate women's literature?
Grab one of those, and whether you're the Lovely
one.
Bones or
should,
Gone
you know
Girl.
What? I'm going to do that. I'm going
to All
write
you need
it's
to do is get the lottery ticket for one of those seven slots, and you have a 1 in 7 chance of getting a million time bestseller. And this guy lied and cheated his way to pick up one of those lottery tickets, and the lottery ticket paid out. And you, Sonny, you defended this with your McDonald's theory of, well, it sold a bazillion copies, so it must be good.
And here we have a movie that's not terrible. It's not good, necessarily, but, you know, it's hard to make a good movie.
Did you read
the actual book that this movie is based on?
I have never had anything good to say about Netflix. But I'll say this, the 1.5 speed on Netflix makes shit like this minimally bearable. I was able to complete the movie without actually gouging my eyes out. Although I sat there at my computer with it on 1.5 thinking, when will this end?
It's already pretty manic.
1.5 on an hour 40.
I mean, this, it was too slow.
Wow. This movie's pretty manic. I mean, Amy Adams is this crazy, manic, drugged up, alcohol, stupor.
Yeah, you can't mix.
She goes crazy. On 1.5 speed, I was drumming my fingers on the kitchen table, waiting for it to go somewhere and move. Horrible. And this is what I don't understand. It isn't bad in an entertaining way. There are no crazy choices being made. There's no...
Well, that's just wrong. That's just not true. No, it's like a stage play. It's like a combination Hitchcock ripoff / stage play, to the point where, like, literally at one point, like, the camera
it'd be great on Broadway.
The camera pulls back or kind of pushes in a little bit and the lights dim and it's right on Amy Adams and she's giving a monologue and we see the reverse shot and it's the four other actors just kind of standing there looking at her like the audience. And then the camera spins around to the right and it's a vignette from the crashed car.
It's in the room.
Literally like something you would see on Broadway. It is like like a Broadway play. And again, this is why it's interesting that Tracy Letts wrote this, because it is written like a play. Which is, again, interesting. It is like...
So you're saying he wrote it best on the... Based on the novel.
He wrote the adaptation.
When you made a reference earlier, Sonny, to Brian De Palma, were you making a reference to Body Double? Is that what you were thinking?
No, I'm just making a reference to, like, everything...
Everything that
Brian De Palma has done is in some way ripping off Alfred Hitchcock.
Because I was going to say Body Double... it did much better, I believe, on the quadrants.
Vic, this movie dies on the quadrants.
Well, let's take a look. As Warner Wolf would say, let's go to the videotape.
Okay.
Plot is a C.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have questions. It was like, well, okay. Duration, A+.
You get 40. Out of here with that weak shit. An hour 40
was too much. It was too
much. B+ or an A.
What would you bring it down to, JVL? Hour 20.
I'm saying if you're going to get an A+ on the Vic scale, you got to be 80 minutes. You cannot get an A+ by going over an hour and a half.
Wow.
You can't do that.
Wow.
Let the man of the people have his scale.
In our current situation, anything
again,
under 2 hours is...
Cruella is 134 minutes long.
That's ridiculous.
134 minutes long.
Okay. Violence and action gets an A+. You get the bonus points for the hand rake to the face.
That was crazy. I mean, come on. You didn't laugh out loud when she got hit in the face,
right.
you could see like the thing coming through her cheek.
Yes.
That was
okay.
funny.
That was pretty funny.
Sex
nudity is an F, because you know what? I've seen better Amy Adams, The Fighter, for example.
Yeah, so, she's like.
Or if you want to be a voyeur, then it's Body Double. So yes. So the average comes to B-C+. Did I like it? It was entertaining, I found it entertaining enough, but I did, since, spoiler alert, I mean, like, it's all out
questions.
There now.
Questions. Well, you had questions.
I did. Okay, I wasn't convinced. So the whole point is that the son is somehow, the truth is, the son is a killer, and he's a wannabe serial killer. That's what it is. That's
he's
what's
trying
happening.
To figure out how to be a serial killer.
He's trying
to figure out
I didn't buy that at all. I'm just like, I don't think that was earned. Okay, question. Who is the mother?
Well, Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore is the mother. Okay.
Julianne Moore is the birth mother.
Birth mother.
Jennifer Jason Leigh is married to Alistair Russell. / Gary Oldman.
All right. When did the mother start dating David, the tenant downstairs? In Boston?
Well, no. She just came over and hooked up with him.
While she... Okay, so she came down to New York.
One night stand.
Down to New York to be near her family. Or her son.
Well, she found them in Boston and then followed them to New York,
found
right?
Them in Boston. But because wasn't he supposed to be a Boston connection too? Like he was paroled up there or something like that? He was supposed
David?
To be doing time, yeah. Or was it Connecticut?
I think that's in Connecticut.
Ah, okay. So Julianne Moore loves her son, right? She wants to be near them.
Sounds like she's a crazy person.
Yeah,
really,
but she loves her, and he kills the mother. That's what happens. He kills the mother. The son kills the mother, and then and Gary Oldman covers it up.
Yes.
Okay. Last question. Who is the woman pushed out of the window in the files, the executive assistant, and why?
What do you mean?
Okay, there's a woman. Is her name Amanda, I think?
Oh, the woman victim. In Boston? The reason they had to leave Boston?
Yes.
I mean, that's just, it was just, it was his first victim. It was.
And it happened to be his secretary, victim. His executive assistant.
It was the executive
there
assistant.
There was no relationship or anything.
Alistair
we have no motive. He just did it. He just pushed her out the window.
Yeah, because he's a crazy person. He's a killer.
Yeah. Okay.
You didn't even ask the most interesting question, which was, he was supposed to be living in her house this entire time? He says at some point in the movie, like, I've been living here for a week.
Nah, I don't know about that. I mean, again, she said.
He's the one who sent the picture.
Okay. Yes, but of course she's on drugs. And
she's on drugs. But I was just saying that there's no payoff to that, except for the picture that gets sent to her. It's a thread that's totally just dangling there.
He's supposed to be in some prep school, right? I'm supposed to be in a prep. They don't even know I'm not here. Well, wasn't he just there across the street? I don't know. I'm losing track of time because, you know, you're seeing things in her world and everything is messed up. It's drugs, alcohol, and Turner Classic Movies, apparently. So.
Yeah, that's another one of those tropes where they have, like, Rear Window playing on the TV screen.
I would say coming
in.
Obviously. Can they get away with saying, oh, no, we're not ripping it off. It's an homage.
It's not really ripping off Rear Window. It's doing a slightly different thing. Again, it's less like a Hitchcock homage than like an homage to Brian De Palma doing Hitchcock. It is like it is so over the top and so ridiculous. I'm shocked that you didn't love Gary Oldman.
Yeah. JVL,
in this
continue,
with his,
please.
Ridiculous performance.
I feel like we are living in different universes. And I worry that people are going to think that we've devolved into shtick where you and I go on an opposite side of every week, no matter what. Mm-hmm. But something weird is going on.
Something transformation. Something
over the last like 3 months, because over the last 12 movies, I don't think you and I have been aligned once.
What's weird is that I don't think it's a good movie. I would not say that this is a good film. I would not say it's like an amazing piece of artistry, but the pedigree is so good and they're obviously doing so many things in it that I just respect the ridiculousness of it. I don't know.
I like train wrecks. Look, for me, a movie does not have to be good to be enjoyable.
But how is this? How does this not fall under the train wreck exemption?
Too boring to be a train wreck. Nothing in it. Literally nothing.
It's one thing to say it's boring, but were you surprised by any of it, or did you predict all of it? Did you put it together before any of these things came together? Because I did not. I think I did not.
No, you're kidding, Vic.
No, I thought it was Gary Oldman. I'm sorry, I thought it was Gary Oldman. I didn't realize it had.
Vic, you still haven't put it all together.
I'm putting it together right now. So you're saying the son killed the girlfriend? Oh no! So the ending, though, is kind of like The Others as well, because it's like, yeah, with Amy Adams, with her family, I'm saying, with her family, you know?
It's not like The Others, really.
Well,
I mean,
she killed
just,
she killed her family.
But
in her mind, they're still alive.
Can we talk about Amy Adams?
Yeah. I think, was it on purpose? Are you going to ask, did she look like that or put on weight on purpose?
Well, is this still her hillbilly elegy weight that she just decided to like do both these roles back to back because she wouldn't have to hit the gym between them?
That is a legitimate question.
It is what I assumed.
You know what I will say? I will liken it to where Robert De Niro was post Untouchables, but before, say, Goodfellas, where he was in Midnight Run, in sort of a medium weight on his way back down to Cape Fear. That's what I should say.
I gotta say, I'm not talking about just the fact that she, you know, has the body mass of a normal human being in this and not a Hollywood actress. But there is something distressing to me to see Amy Adams looking like a middle-aged housefrau. There is a time is slowly turning us all into monsters aspect to seeing middle-aged Amy Adams like this, because she is forever the girl from Enchanted. Was it Enchanted? Is that the Disney movie? You know, or
The Fighter.
Or from, I did not see The Fighter, but that is a wistful look in your eye, Victorino. I was going to say, I mean, from Catch Me If You Can.
No, trust
Enchanted, in the braces.
Enchanted only came out.
She was great in
like,
that, too. The nurse, she was like the candy stripper. The nurse, candy stripper.
Enchanted came out like 15 years ago.
The candy what, Victorino?
Striper. Go ahead. Sorry,
two peas.
Sorry, Sonny. No, she had the alpha, too. Go ahead, Sonny.
I didn't have anything. No, I mean, I think she's intentionally kind of playing... She looks like a mess on purpose.
Right. No, no.
And she gets her act together in order for her to look better at the end.
And I do think, and she does look better at the end, but again, she looks like a Hollywood actor.
Right.
With like makeup and like in a real up. I mean, look, I think that she shot this and Hillbilly Elegy probably pretty close to each other, though this had been in the can for a while. This was not a Netflix.
Well, this had reshoots.
Original.
Problems,
so
right?
this had reshoots, this had re-scripting, this sat on the shelf for a long time. Eventually Fox sold it to Netflix during, you know, it was like, oh, well, can't put it out in theaters because of COVID. We better sell it to Netflix. And it was what it really was them saying, we got to get this fucking thing off our plate because this is going to make $5 in the theaters.
I did have the sense that there was the same sort of time slowly turning us all into monsters that we would have seen had we turned on the Max this evening and watched the Friends reunion.
I'm dying to see this.
Because I got to say.
Who looked, at least one of them had to have still looked great. Come on.
Well, but the problem is the people who still look great because they've, you know.
Yes.
Gone under the knife, right? I mean, this is the, David Schwimmer doesn't have a single gray hair on his head.
That's fine.
Did you actually watch this special?
I know, but I looked at the publicity stills from
it. I want to watch it until I can't. I don't know. Maybe it'll be a mistake if I do. I'll watch like the first hour and a half.
Matt LeBlanc, on the other hand, is like Snow White, right? He's all natural. Right. And
Matthew Perry.
Matthew Perry. This is what's fun. You know, I saw back-to-back stills from like the pilot episode and then this. And I don't know. Everything about it is just wrong. I'm against these sorts of reunion projects. I feel like, you know, as Fred Barnes once said, always look forward, never look back. And you do stuff like this and like nobody wants it. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. The only time this has ever worked was when Curb Your Enthusiasm did the meta Seinfeld reunion where they didn't actually have the reunion. It was just like the actors hanging around and they were like shooting it. They don't like show the episode or anything.
That's right. That's right.
That was
worked.
Great.
That worked. I would say it's either Good Morning America or the Today Show that started putting together like 25 years later for episodes or 30 years or 40 years later where go to sitcoms and they'll bring them on the set. And sometimes, and I'll watch that just to see it. And for some of the sitcoms that I liked or TV shows, and that can be very depressing because you'll have a wide array of actors, some of whom really made it big and others who didn't for you know, one reason or another. And I remember it's weird because then, you know, the dynamic is so different now because maybe the little girl who had the small part is now the big celebrity star in Hollywood, you know, and then the other people who aren't. And I'm fascinated by those kind of dynamics. I watched clip once of the 227 reunion, and I'm just curious. And I watched 227, and
what is 227?
That was with No Place Like Home was the opening song, and it was, I believe it was Marla Gibbs, and it was what's his name, Frank White, whatever his name was, who played the drill sergeant from Private Benjamin. He's the dad, and they lived in it. Was like it was a black family sitcom that took place in Washington D.C., one of the rare TV shows or things that take place in the district, and the daughter was Regina King.
Hmm.
And so she began, but of course, and her opposite, the guy that she liked, I forget his name. He went down a bad path, you know, with like drugs and problems like that. And talking, so it was really awkward, you know, you're seeing this, but she was such a big star. She is a big, big star. And so her being there and, you know, and sometimes you'll see reunion shows where the big famous star now is, they don't do it. They won't go, right? It's a no, well, so, there'll be a no-show. And then it's these other has-beens trying to remember what it was like.
Here's the problem. The problem is that when you have actors who've continued to work, then you don't have this disjointedness, no matter what they look like, because they have aged within your consciousness
yes.
as time has gone on. Where you're like, oh, yes, I saw Jason Alexander in this, and then he was in that, and then he was in that. But on the other hand, you haven't seen Michael Richards in 25 years. And so if he pops up on a Seinfeld reunion, you're going to be like, my God, what happened to him?
Yeah.
And this is what has happened to most of the Friends cast, right? They've been basically buried from public view, with the exception of Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys see the first promo still from the Kids in the Hall reunion?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You guys know about this. You guys know about this, right? They all look like grandpas now. Because they're all 70. Because they're all old.
Yeah, not
I don't know. Maybe they're like in their 60s. I don't know. But the, but it is a real kick in the nuts to see all those guys together again. Because they look like old grandpas with white hair and paunches. Yeah. And I feel this icy hand of death grabbing my face and saying, this is going to be you one day.
Because you haven't seen
right
any of them
die.
In 30 years.
Right.
You Very haven't much. Seen them in 30 years, right?
Certainly, you haven't seen them all together, certainly, right. in yeah. that sort of right. situation.
And, you know, like Lisa Kudrow has popped up like on... two very special guest stars here and there.
Oh, she did the comeback, which I
no,
enjoyed
she's,
that
she's
show.
Had a couple shows actually. So I've she's seen her supposedly post she's friends. Very she's very very talented and funny.
But I haven't
People
seen for example
like
Matthew Perry. I don't know what he does. You know?
I haven't
not
seen
that he needs to do
the
anything.
Whole nine yards.
Right. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. But not that they need to do anything.
Amanda Peet.
That's a great quadrant. That's a great quadrant movie.
That movie kills the quadrants.
Oh my gosh. On everything. It was very easy to understand. Okay. Do you have any other thoughts on the woman in the window?
I don't. When is the next time that all three of us are going to feel the same way about a movie? Are those days just behind us?
Let's think about this. Let's think what's coming up. What's coming down the pipe?
F9?
No.
Because I'm going to hate that one.
Yeah.
I think we could all hate that.
Well, that's easier to say. What movie are we all going to hate?
What will we all hate? The Jungle Cruise?
No, see, I would say Cruella. Cruella, easily.
I bet the Jungle Cruise is going to be better than I expected.
Cruella's a... Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to figure that out. Okay.
What about one of these musicals? Will we all hate In the Heights?
Oh, In the...
Will we all hate West Side Story?
Oh.
Oh, 100%.
I'm shaking. I'm just...
I can't wait until we see West Side Story, just because we're going to get so many text messages from J-Pod.
Well, you
like,
should
how
have,
could
yeah.
you not love
well,
this?
Well, no. I mean, I bet you he wouldn't like the remake. You should have him on as a special guest, because you can't beat the original. I think
the original. I can't watch
the
original
most,
either.
The single
the
most
original...
overrated movie
no,
in the history
into,
of cinema.
I'm just saying, if you're into
all,
the original West Side Story,
musicals,
you're not gonna like the remake. You
all
have to
musicals
love.
Are
you
shit.
Have to love.
And West Side Story is no exception.
You loved La La Land.
I did not love La La Land, but I did thought I think I thought like, it was good.
Like
it was I was shocked
lot.
By how much I liked La La yeah, Land, but I didn't. I did. It's not like I was like, this is a great movie. I gotta go. I haven't thought about that movie since it came out in theaters.
I get confused between that and Moonlight. I don't know why. Okay.
Because Moonlight, remember they La La Land was supposed to win Best Picture, and then Moonlight did, and everyone was shocked. I think I might have put La La Land on my best of. List that year, but I literally have not thought
yeah.
about that movie.
I forgot what movie I picked. That Roma. I still haven't seen it. I thought it was gonna win. Okay, sorry, Sonny. I didn't mean to make you so later. Okay, remember Roma? Okay. Well, you gotta head off, don't you, Sonny? You're going somewhere. Are you?
Yeah, I'm trying to go see A Quiet Place too. Once we're done taping this.
Okay, very good.
Now I'm gonna have a bunch of editing to do. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well, in that case, let's move on. Do you have a spirit of the week? What are you drinking?
I'm just drinking Diet Dr. Pepper.
Okay. You know what we got growing in our backyard naturally? Mint. So you know what I should make with that, don't you? Mint juleps.
Mint juleps.
That's right. Just have simple syrup, bourbon, and I think that's it. Okay.
Pretty much.
Corrections, shout-outs, anything?
No, okay. not over
All
here.
Right. All right. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at Sunny Bunch at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We are there. Tell your friends. Until next time. I don't know if you have anything. I do have the one of the most fitting endings if you don't have any.
All right, I have something, but we'll end with you.
Okay.
I have something that's been on my chest for a couple of weeks now. I don't want to get too much into politics, but I feel like we have to talk about this. Remember we had election day like 3 weeks ago? There was, you know, some weird off-year elections in Texas and Virginia and Pennsylvania. Yeah, stuff like that. Well, there was a ballot initiative up in, I want to say, Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania.
Lackawanna.
The ballot initiative was to do away with solitary confinement in prison.
Oh.
And this was proposed as some human rightsy sort of thing.
Are you kidding me?
But if I ever go to jail,
that's all I want. That's
my God, I want nothing but solitary. I don't want to be.
You know what?
Now, Victorina, you of course hate solitary.
I know. I mean,
you were in solitary.
You
couldn't get voted president of the jail.
You couldn't be president.
You couldn't be jail class
president. Cell block nine. I would say that part of me would be like, okay, well, what's the trade off? Is I can make friends, but they'll be in the shower. You know what I mean? so it's one of those deals.
Right. That's all. I just wanted to know if it struck you guys as insane.
Yes,
I
can't tell you
pro human rights.
Gonna hear from the reformers who are like, ah, it's actually terrible for the prisoners because they're all.
I read this all the time about how it's very dehumanizing, and it's because you don't know what it takes away. It strips you. You know what else strips you of humanity? I'll tell you what. Okay. So
I've seen Oz.
That's all I've got.
No, that's good. That's good.
Tell us. Okay, tell us the story.
So I just thought it was really fascinating or fitting that you were talking about, you know, you were saying, what is it, the monsters, what's the phrase you were using about, you know, death coming for us all?
And time is slowly turning us all into monsters.
Into monsters, yes, thank you. So this morning I went to the supermarket and pick up a few things. It was great. There was nobody at the line, so I went right up to this nice cashier lady, rung my stuff, having a nice chat with her, going through the things there, and finally
Vote Mattis,
thank you. And then she says, "So, do you qualify for a discount?" Oh, look at Sunny's face! Look at your face! I didn't know what she was talking about. I didn't know.
Oh, I'm not active duty military. Is that what you said to her, Victorino?
I said no. I'm not, you know, if you're asking, because I'm buying beer, you know. But no, I did not know what she meant by that. First thing I thought was, you know, usually they ask for ID if you're buying alcohol, and instead she goes, "Do you qualify for a discount?" And I said, "What?" And she just said, "Oh no, you don't look 65." And I thought to myself, did she say this because she can't tell because I'm Asian? Or did she say this because I look old and I'm really hoping it was racist?
You want it to be the racism.
Yeah. Yeah.
The racism is better than
than age.
Age.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. I'm sure it's fine.
I'm sure it's fine.